Hello, and welcome to A Little Death, a podcast about sex, relationships, and how it feels to be human. I'm your voice, Alana. There are two things I want to talk about today. The first is a book I read about polyamory, and the second is the idea of a low-key dating spectrum that I've been thinking about kind of obsessively for a few weeks. But first, let's talk about polyamory. So I just read a book called Many Love, a memoir of polyamory and finding loves by Sophie Lucido Johnson. It was published last year, and I think it's one of the more accessible books about polyamory versus, you know, classic guides like The Ethical Slut or Esther Perel's work, which sometimes looks at poly relationships, but it's almost from like a scientific distance. The book is a lot of things at once. It's a real-life Bildungsroman, it's a comic book, it's an intro to a kind of philosophy of polyamory, and it's a story about all of Johnson's partners and also her cats. What I'm going to say about it is that I kind of actively dislike this book, but that's not a bad thing, and I don't think that should stop anybody from reading it. I mean, whenever I feel a strong dislike towards a piece of culture, it usually means there's something meaty to it. You know, you argue over things with substance, not something that you don't care about at all. Getting back to the theme of the book, though, what is polyamory? Well, it's a setup where a person has or can have one or more committed partners. So you might have a primary partner who you live with, maybe you're married to each other, and then you or your partner have additional boyfriends and girlfriends who you have real committed relationships with in addition. Of course, there's, you know, a million variations of this. So one of the questions that Johnson asks in her book, or kind of tries to explain, is why would somebody have this setup? And her answer is, you know, if you feel that humans and you contain infinite amounts of love, then adding more relationships and more outlets for your love and affection makes you happier and feel more connected to the world and to others. It also, monogamy is hard because it's not biologically natural to have sex with just one person for the rest of your life. You know, that's not to say that monogamy is wrong. I mean, certainly everybody makes trade-offs for any kind of relationships. I mean, perhaps you uphold a monogamous commitment because you value your primary partner and your amazing apartment more than you value sleeping with some random that you met at a party after you drank 9 glasses of champagne, which this week at least is what I call Wednesday. Getting back to the book, here's a brief, lukewarm take on the book in two parts. First, if it's for young people, amazing. But if it is for adults, oh boy, I have found this book to be self-satisfied, smug, and a bit judgmental towards those who aren't like quote-unquote enlightened or brave or honest enough to participate in the poly lifestyle. I mean, if this book is really informative and eye-opening to an actual human adult, then I wonder what the fuck they've been thinking about when it comes to being a human in the world with relationship to other humans. But again, if the book is mostly for teenagers or young people who are just starting to think about their sexuality and options for sexual relationships, then it's great. A caveat here. I'm probably a really bad reviewer for this book because Johnson is effusive with her love and revels in crushes and butterflies that you might call that new relationship energy. Instead of loving many people romantically like Johnson does, though, my heart is stone, and I only love myself, but I also hate myself, which probably explains why one of the last people I had sex with was a psychiatrist, and how that psychiatrist, who is also equally in his head, is one of the only people in a long time for whom I felt the smallest butterfly start to flap its little wings. The wings didn't flap, though, and I did not get those real butterflies in my stomach, but it was close. A second lukewarm take. So I didn't enjoy reading this book because it reminded me of my own experiences in the poly world, which went rather badly, and that was totally my fault. I met a lot of people who I had a really hard time shaking out of my life. So a quick piece of advice for any loner introvert types with high libidos, do not go to a poly orgy, and definitely don't go to 5 poly orgies before you know how to say no, and thanks, but I don't want to have a relationship with or be friends with you. Here, let me add another caveat. Reviewing anything based solely on your own experience is a really bad form of argument. My experience is my own, and using that as a basis of critique is such a cop-out because you can't argue against someone else's experience. I mean, it's like conceptual art, where if you don't like it, that's the point. If you do like it, cool, then that's also the point. You know, like, you cannot ever take that down. And if I acknowledge the fact that I understand that, then I'm like doubly safe from criticism. This is a way of like totally disarming a critic when you're the first to say, yep, I am indeed basing all my points on nothing that's legitimately arguable. But you know what? That's what I'm doing here. Just sorry. Anyway, back to polyamory and the script for this recording. So, despite everything I've just said, I really do not mean to trash polyamory, and I don't mean to trash this book. I actually want to make a note about what is amazing for about polyamory, especially for the non-polyamorous. So, I mean, it's always a useful practice, right, to imagine the interiority of another person. Like, that's literally why books, you know? And so, that's why you should probably read Many Love, even if you're not poly, and you should probably talk to someone who got something out of the book. And if they haven't read it, then definitely meet people who are in or have been in poly relationships, because trust me, you know many of them, and learn how it was valuable to, like, their own experience. Ugh, Jesus, talk about bearing the lead. This whole thing is leading up to a point about low-key dating, which is what I want to talk about, and I want to talk about over the next few episodes. So the reason I'm bringing up polyamory here, besides wanting to talk about the book I just read, is that it overlaps with another relationship scenario that I call low-key dating. Low-key dating is a relationship situation for anyone who is busy or not committal, in some sort of life transition, or just true loners at heart who also want to have some familiarity, and intimacy when it comes to sex. It's basically like the koi pond situation that I talked about in season one. Low-key dating is not about being in a committed, romantic, personal relationship with somebody. It's kind of the difference between loving friends with benefits, and like a boyfriend or girlfriend. So I've been thinking about low-key dating because I myself am a low-key dater and still trying to like understand how to exist in the world and have good sex, without following any trajectory of a relationship. So like if coupling or thrupling or, getting married just isn't in the cards for you, like then what do you do? I mean, low-key daters are like, I don't know, the Oedipus after he blinded himself. And we just need some guidance. Remember here, I just fucked a psychiatrist. I can't help it. And honestly, there's a lot that low-key daters can learn from polyamory, and there's some practical overlap in the sex lives of low-key daters and poly people. So here's why, if you're a low-key dater, you know, a poly person might actually be a really great sex partner for you. And here's like how poly people themselves can be low-key daters. So first, polyamorous people are usually very open-minded, and down to explore different kinds of relationships. And while it is easy to make fun of the amount of time that poly people spend talking about their own relationships with the people they're in relationships with, I mean, that does mean they're really good at communicating and expressing their needs. So I would argue that poly people probably have a much more broad vocabulary to talk about relationship dynamics than, you know, the typical low-key dater. So, like, as you wade through kind of a murky scenario, which low-key dating usually is, the poly person might be the Virgil who leads you through it, or the Antigone who is leading your blinded Oedipus through some kind of, you know, whatever. Again, God, don't fuck psychiatrists. You can't get out of that language. The second reason that poly people are great for low-key daters, you know, there's like a lot less pressure on you, the non-poly low-key dater, when your person has a primary partner. And to be clear, this is when you've established that you're a low-key dater and not interested in pursuing anything more than that with, you know, said poly person. So in that scenario, you know, where you're sleeping with someone who already has a partner or more than one, you know, you just don't owe them that much. You know, you don't have to think about future logistics like living together, buying property. Do you want to have children? Can I pick up dinner? You know, or dealing with each other's families. You don't have to prioritize time with them or, you know, different kinds of emotional thoughts with them above anything else in your life. There are things to look out for when bringing a poly person into your low-key dating scenario. So make sure the obvious, right? Like, don't take advantage of someone who's open to or seeking out new relationships if you're totally not. Like, not every polyamorous person wants to marry their secondary or tertiary partners, but, you know, some might have certain expectations, like, you know, maybe you have to go on a proper date like every other week to be able to sleep with them. So just don't be mean, you know, make sure you're both truly okay with a situation that doesn't have like a proper future. If you aren't clear that you're not looking for anything quote unquote serious, I mean, you're pretty much just taking advantage of someone who's especially emotionally and sexually available and honest, and you're using them with that. That's really mean. Don't be an asshole. And also, it can be really helpful to embark on a murky relationship or like non-relationship type setup with someone who has a great relationship vocabulary, and who has a lot of experience maintaining, you know, lots of boundaries. But if you're a non-poly person, and if you're this low-key dater, it's really not fair to put the pressure of, you know, clarifying and setting expectations on that polyamorous person. Wrapping up, some might call low-key dating like an inability to commit, like that's a bad thing, or some rude one-foot-in, one-foot-out scenario. But really, there are just times when a person isn't looking for a relationship with a capital R. And that's why I think it's important to take seriously the idea of low-key dating and hopefully, you know, offer tips and strategy for anybody else embarking on this kind of life. I mean, it can be hard to know where to look when you're looking for relationships that aren't really relationships but aren't totally like not relationships. So I think that low-key daters can and should learn a lot from polyamorous people and can probably fuck some if they're honest and clear about their intentions. So like on the spectrum of low-key dating, sleeping with a poly person is probably closer to the side of intimacy and connection than the side of like one-night stands. In the next episode, we'll talk about other low-key dating strategies that are a bit more centered in that dating spectrum, like consensually sleeping with somebody's monogamous wife. Anyway, more soon. In the meantime, let me know if you've read Many Love or if you have other book recommendations. Also, if you want to call me out for talking shit about poly people, because I know I've come off like a real asshole this recording. So anyways, drop me a line. I'm on Twitter at Alana Heiss. Until next time, be good. Final segment here is just going to be a final judgment. I think editing, pretty bad. Background music, also pretty bad. And main point, kind of confused. Wanted to talk about two sort of different things that also kind of made sense together, but not totally. So if you're thinking, wow, the thread through this story kind of fell apart, girl, you're right.